DiscerningHearts.com presents Beginning to Pray with Dr. Anthony Lillis. Dr. Lillis is an associate professor and the academic dean of St. John's Seminary in Camarillo, California, as well as the academic advisor for the St. Juan Diego House of Priestly Formation for the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. Through the years, clergy, seminarians, religious, and lay faithful have benefited from his lectures and retreat conferences on the Carmelite Doctors of the Church and the writings of St. Elizabeth of the Trinity. He is the author of Hidden Mountain Secret Garden, a theological contemplation of prayer, as well as numerous other books focused on the spiritual life. In this series of conversations with Dr. Lillis, we focus on Doctor of the Church, St. Teresa of Avila, and her great spiritual masterwork, The Interior Castle. Beginning to Pray with Dr. Anthony Lillis. I'm your host, Chris McGregor.
On St. Teresa of Avila's Interior Castle, Mansion 5, Chapter 4. But before we can get to paragraph 5, we can't skip over 4, where she gives a great cloud of witnesses here to just what you spoke of, the mention of some very important saints in her life.
Yes, she talks about St. Ursula and Dominic and Francis and the founders of other orders, including St. Ignatius. She says all of these have known this betrothal. What did they do but endeavor that this divine betrothal should not be frustrated through their fault? Oh, my daughters, how ready this Lord is to grant us favors just as he has then. In some ways, it is even more necessary that we should wish to receive them, for there are fewer than there used to be who think of the Lord's honor. We are so very fond of ourselves and so very careful not to lose any of our rights. Woe! What a great mistake we make. May the Lord in his mercy give us light, lest we fall into such darkness. Now, I wanted to say a word here, and this is worth just spending a moment to reflect on, and that is, in our own time, there have been a lot of different religious communities that have started, new religious communities and movements and things that have started. I've been involved in a couple different things, and I praise God for the new movements and founders and religious orders of our time. But one of the very sad things that has happened that has discouraged a lot of people is that the founders of these religious communities and new movements and organizations, oftentimes we discover years later that they were living duplicitous lives, that they were involved in grave scandal, and that they fell from grace. On one hand, for anyone who is listening right now who's been scandalized because of a founder who's fallen short of the glory of God, Jesus did not want you to be scandalized, and his heart aches with you. And in some way, the scandal that you have suffered, the hurt, the sense of betrayal that you have suffered, is what God has suffered, and you are participating in a mystery deep in the heart of God. And it's important to learn to surrender that more radically to the Lord, because he can do something very beautiful with it if you let him. He is waiting for you there, and he has not abandoned you. That being said, this paragraph that we've just looked at also helps us see why somebody who's founding a religious community and otherwise does really, really great and important work with the poor or the disabled or some other group, they do something so beautiful, and you want so much to be able to believe in them, and then they fall. Why is that? And it's in this paragraph. The Lord was inviting them to a deeper union, just like he invited Francis and Dominic and Ignatius and St. Ursula and St. Teresa of Avila. He invited them, but for them to be able to be fruitful, they had to undergo a profound suffering and terrible tests. In the midst of a terrible test, it is often quite easy to turn to creatures rather than rely on the Lord, to abuse power and privilege rather than to humble oneself and let oneself be powerless in different situations. this mystery of choosing the humble way of inadequacy and weakness and void, and letting yourself rest there until the Lord reveals his power, is one of the most difficult things in the spiritual life. Souls who are being called to betrothal are brought to this very same place, and it is a hard place to be. So if somebody fails, they need our prayers, they need our fasting and our penance. And at the same time, although we may be very hurt and feel very extremely betrayed, they do not need our judgment. They need God's mercy. I think it's just important to say these trials that souls who are being invited to come here, they are severe because the stakes are high and the evil one attacks them more than he attacks other. He knows that if he can pull one of these souls down, it will hurt a whole bunch of other people. And so he works overtime because he doesn't want what's good, holy, and true to win. He wants to diminish it in every way he can. And he already knows in some way that the victory has been won, but anything he can do to hide, diminish, or frustrate the glory of God, he's scrambling to do it. And so he desperately reaches out to these souls and tries to pull them down. And maybe you and I, maybe we are some of the souls he's going to try to pull down too. And the pathway to this spiritual betrothal is humility, humility, humility. The way on which we learn to rely completely on the Lord and we be steadfast in our service to him. That alone, our trust in him alone, will get us through these trials.
Well, she would go on to number 5, paragraph 5, and actually bring up some of the questions. Are those questions she probably asked herself at certain points in her life?
Yeah, no, I think what you have here is in her own examination of conscience. If a soul is so completely at one with God's will, how can it be deceived since it never desires to follow its own will? By what avenues can the devil enter and lead you into such peril that your soul may be lost when you are so completely withdrawn from the world and so often approach the sacraments? So you're dealing with souls right now that are devout, that are filled with zeal for the Lord, and go to the sacraments. They're doing everything right. What she's saying is, Judas enjoyed the companionship of the apostles, had continual intercourse with God himself, and could listen to his own words. I realize even this does not guarantee our safety. And so I say this, I have very, very dear friends who were far more advanced than me in the spiritual life and came up against walls. They betrayed everything that was most dear to their hearts. We can't presume that we won't be tested in the same way. And that's why I say that we need to come to a deeper trust in the Lord. Believe it or not, it's by learning to surrender in these trials that trust is born in us.
Anthony, what would you say to that person who hears in the 6th paragraph how it little by little the reason is obscured and the will is weakened while the devil fosters his victim's self-love? She goes on, but essentially it's little by little. It's not always necessarily in a big fall. It's in the little things. Is there hope for somebody who is out there and has read this or has seen this? And is it too late for me? Is it too late?
Well, it's never too late, and there's always hope. Even if you've fallen, there's always hope. The evil one would have you believe otherwise, that there's no way to repair what you've done, that it's absolutely impossible. And that's simply not the case. There's always hope, always. And the answer to what the evil one does is going to be in the next paragraph. We'll get there in just a moment. But here in this one, this little by little, For those of you who know St. Ignatius's writings, and you know that there's two sets of rules of discernment. The second set talks about the way the evil one behaves with souls that are mature, and he behaves differently. And what he does, he doesn't tempt you with evil. He tempts you with good things. He makes a good thing appear like it's God's will. But the thing about this stage of the spiritual life, there are many, many good things people can do. The question is, what is God's will for me right now? And oftentimes, God's will, the only way you find it is to humble yourself and to trust him more deeply. We want to do it all. We want to prove, and the evil one knows that. He knows that you want to do beautiful things for God. But he also knows that you can be self-deceived into thinking that you can serve the Lord by your own strength and on your own terms and in your own way. And he's not going to start out with all of that, but he's going to kind of wean you there. He's going to assuage your pride, make you feel like this is the better way to go. And one of those spiritual ways in particular he uses, this is beyond the text, but I think this gets people who the Lord is calling into maturity, is the evil one will even use the praise of your friends and people close to you to make you feel like a course of action is the best one to do. And so you think, oh, look, everybody's looking at me and saying all these wonderful things about me. And so this must be God's will, because of course God wants me to hear all this good stuff, you know. Well, that's a trick. That's a trick. The evil one loves to use our vanity to deceive us. And he doesn't do it all the way and up front. He does it very subtly. At the same time this is going on, it's important to know Jesus has not abandoned you. And even while you're being tested and you get to see your vanity for what it is and your pride for what it is, and your weakness for what it is, even in the midst of all that, while the evil one's working, Jesus is working too. And he sends you thousands and thousands of messages warning you, inviting you back, helping you to see the truth. So do not be discouraged. Do not be discouraged when you're in the middle of battle. God is doing some great thing.
We'll return to Beginning to Pray with Dr. Anthony Lillis in just a moment. Did you know that Discerning Hearts has a free app in which you can find all your favorite Discerning Hearts programming? Father Timothy Gallagher, Dr. Anthony Lillis, Deacon James Keating, Mike Aquilina, Dr. Matthew Bunsen, and so many more are found on the Discerning Hearts free app. Did you also know that you can stream Discerning Hearts programming on numerous streaming platforms such as Apple Podcasts, Google Play, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and so many more? And did you know that Discerning Hearts also has the YouTube page? Be sure to check out all these different places where you can find Discerning Hearts.
Litany of Humility.
O Jesus, meek and humble of heart,
hear me. From the desire of being esteemed,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being loved,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being extolled,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being honored,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being praised,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being preferred to others,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being consulted,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being approved,
deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being humiliated,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being despised,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of suffering rebukes,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being calumniated,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being forgotten,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being ridiculed,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being wronged,
deliver me, Jesus.
from the fear of being suspected.
Deliver me, Jesus, that others may be loved more than I,
that others may be esteemed more than I,
that in the opinion of the world, others may increase and I may decrease,
that others may be chosen and I set aside,
that others may be praised and I unnoticed,
that others may be preferred to me in everything,
that others may become holier than I, provided that I become as holy as I should.
Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it.
Amen.
Hello, my name is Deacon Omar Gutierrez, and I want to ask you to support Discerning Hearts in a special way. We, Chris McGregor, the board, and I all know that not everyone listening can help financially. We know we have listeners from all parts of the world, and we have made a commitment since the beginning to make the truths shared through Discerning Hearts totally free. So while you may not be able to contribute financially, what you can do is certainly pray, but also give us positive reviews on whatever platform you use to listen to us. If it's iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Spotify, however it is that you get these podcasts, or if you're on YouTube and you like our videos, please give us a good rating and write a review. The more good ratings and reviews we get, the higher our profile, and the more listeners will discover us, listeners who may have the means to contribute in the future. Please consider rating us and writing a positive review today.
From the teachings of St. Francis de Sales, we must resist great temptations with unconquerable courage, and our victories over such temptations will be most valuable. Even so, on the whole, we probably gain more by resisting the lesser temptations that continually assault us. The greater temptations are more powerful, but the number of little temptations is so much more considerable that a victory over them is just as important as a victory over the ones that are greater but rarer. No doubt wolves and bears are more dangerous than biting flies, but they don't as frequently cause us annoyance and irritation, so they don't try our patience in the way that flies do. It's easy to abstain from murder, but it's difficult to avoid the angry outbursts that are so often aroused within us. It's easy to avoid adultery, but it's not so easy to be holy and constantly pure in words, looks, thoughts, and deeds. It's easy not to steal what belongs to someone else, difficult not to covet it, easy not to bear false witness in court, difficult to be perfectly truthful in everyday conversation, easy to refrain from getting drunk, difficult to be self-controlled in what we eat and drink, easy not to desire someone's death, difficult never to desire anything contrary to his interests, easy to avoid open defamation of someone's character, difficult to avoid all inward contempt of others. In short, these lesser temptations to anger, suspicion, jealousy, envy, frivolity, vanity, foolishness, deception, artificiality, impure thoughts, are a perpetual trial even to those who are most devout and resolute. So we must carefully and diligently prepare for this warfare. But be assured that every victory won over these little foes is like a precious stone in the crown of glory that God prepares for us in heaven.
We now return to Beginning to Pray with Dr. Anthony Lewis. And you said that she would go on to describe a bit more about what the tactics of the enemy are.
Yes. What she says after this is that she gives you counsel on what to do. You must continually ask God in our prayers to keep us in his hand and bear constantly in mind that if he leaves us, we shall once be down in the depths, as indeed we shall. So what's sustaining us in the midst of our trials is God's presence. So the evil one, you can tell that he's trying to deceive you because you feel pulled further and further away from the Lord. And when you see that happen, act against it. And you act against it by continually asking God to keep us in his hand. We must walk with special care and attention and watch what progress we make in the virtues and discover if in any way we are either improving or going back. So one of the other ways you can tell that you're in the midst of a spiritual attack is if you're not improving, if your spiritual life is kind of stagnant or you're backsliding a little bit, then that's a time to be very concerned and to fall back on your knees in prayer and humble yourself and go back to confession, because the evil one is beginning to pull you away. The Lord wants us to make progress. And the way we make progress, the way we know we're making progress, it's not by virtue of what we feel or how we understand or the influence we have over others or what they think of us. The way we know whether or not we're making progress is, am I being virtuous? If I'm losing my temper and shouting at people, or if I'm judging them in my heart, if I'm, you know, calculating how to manipulate them and all of those things are going on, well, there's something not simple in me. The pathway to the Lord is a very simple movement of heart to him, to his presence, a surrender. And yes, in the eyes of the world, you look foolish. And yes, in the eyes of the world, you don't look like you have it together and that you're not being prudent, all that stuff. Yeah, that's all true. But what the world doesn't know is friendship with God. And that you have, and that nothing can take from you, as long as you're attentive to what's going on. So look at your actions. And if you can't see your actions, or you're patting yourself on the back and you think everything's going good, then go to a good friend and ask them to tell you what's going on. And if you have a really good friend, they'll tell you the truth about what's going on. But one way or another, the Lord will use someone. If he won't convict you in your own conscience alone in prayer, he'll use a brother or a sister or a spouse, a friend, to say something that helps you realize, you know what, I need to turn to the Lord and beg for his help again. But the Lord never wants us to have that feeling that we think we have arrived and that we're already there and that you know, we're good to go. That thought is totally from the evil one. I am a miserable sinner, and I have no idea why God has loved me so much that he has given his only son. I have no idea why God, in his great mercy and in the abundance of his kindness, has chosen me to be a husband and father of my family, but he did. I have no idea why he's allowed me to help build up people's faith in the life of the church, but he has. I have no idea why he's given me so many good friends for me to encourage on their way. He did that too. And I am completely reliant on him. Any other thing that goes through my head is just a lie. I need Jesus. I need a savior. Because like everybody else on this mortal coil, there's a lot of brokenness here, and only he can save me. I think a soul that will allow Jesus to teach them the truth of that, the truth of what St. Catherine says when God the Father says to her, I am the one who is, and you are the one who is not. Hear that truth. Let it permeate deep into your heart. And the pathway that Teresa of Avila's laying out here, this pathway of calling out to Jesus and begging him to keep us in his hand, that pathway will open up for you.
So beautiful, Anthony. As we're coming towards the actual conclusion of Fifth Mansion, any final thoughts?
Well, we've obviously are talking about a stage of the spiritual life a lot of people will listen to and wonder whether or not, you know, they've tasted anything like this, or they've known these kind of trials and or blessings. I have friends who, when I talk about the presence of God and the way Jesus comes to help us, they'll say, but I've never experienced that. I would just say, what These graces that we're describing, these are graces that are related to us, open to us by means of baptism. These are not extraordinary graces. So if you feel a stirring in your heart, like, boy, I would love to know the peace that comes from this kind of spiritual betrothal, this peace that Anthony of the Desert found when he made it through the trials and Jesus came to him in that very special way. If your heart longs for peace, it's not only okay, but it's really good to ask for it. Do not be afraid of the trials that this peace requires, because the peace he gives us is a peace that the world cannot give us. It's a peace that nothing in the world can take away. And it's a peace that our brothers and sisters in this life need. They need to see and touch and hear and be near. And if you have any desire for this, the peace that this kind of prayer, this prayer of union can provide, then ask for this gift, this fruit. Ask for it, and you will receive. Knock, and the door will be open to you. Seek, and you will find it. The Lord wants to give you these gifts, not only for yourself, but for everyone he's entrusted to you.
Thank you, Anthony.
God bless you.
You've been listening to Beginning to Pray with Dr. Anthony Lillis. To hear and or to download this conversation, along with hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com, or you can find it within the free Discerning Hearts app and on other numerous streaming platforms. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this program has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission, which is to offer authentic and rock-solid spiritual formation programs freely to souls around the world. And if you feel us worthy, please consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax-deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we hope that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com. And join us next time for Beginning to Pray with Dr. Anthony Lillis.